God.
Hello, this is Carrie Clapton. We're on the air. This is Project Camelot Radio, Whistleblower Radio. We're having some sound difficulties this morning, so you can let me know if you can hear what's going on here. So, Bill Ryan is not with me today. He's actually out showing Brian O'Leary, Switzerland. And so we are going to have a guest with us, Doc Barham, who is, if some of you listened to our last couple shows, you will be familiar with. He's the person who introduced us to Pete Peterson, our recent whistleblower. And I am hard at work editing that interview, just FYI. And Doc is a really interesting guy. He's a Reiki master and a healer, and he's also been involved with the Monroe Institute. He's an accredited teacher from that. He calls himself an outreach teacher, I believe, from the Monroe Institute. And so it will be very interesting to have him on with me. That'll be on in a few minutes. On top of that, we are going to be addressing what you do to psychically protect yourself while taking in all the information that you find on Project Camelot, and I'm sure other places as well, and just in general in your life, with what's going on in terms of protecting yourself also against electromagnetic frequencies, scalar waves, mind control, and that sort of thing. So it should be a very interesting discussion and probably long overdue. Actually, Doc came to me and suggested that we do such a thing because, being that we're really out there, sort of in the outer limits of space and time, if you will, investigating all sorts of things and going up against the powers that be that want to keep those things secret. And if you come onto our website, if you interact with us, you are also encountering all sorts of things in your life, and we want to address that. And it's actually, you really do need to become what is in essence a Jedi light warrior in dealing with the things out there in the cosmos and inside of you and me and all of us, since we're all one. So that'll be really very, very interesting. And other than that, I do want to tell you about Bill's conference. It's going on in Zurich. It will be, I think it's the 10th and 11th and the 12th, maybe. I'm not sure the exact dates, but they're on our website. And he is going to be having Dan Burish and Marcia McDowell, who are now married, and a wonderful, wonderful team. And on top of that, Brian O'Leary and also David Wilcock. So this will be David's first trip to Europe, I understand, in this life, let's say. And so that's pretty exciting for David. And I understand that he went to Japan at one point, but I don't think he's ever been to Europe. So Europe is fabulous, and I'm going to be going to meet Bill in Barcelona at the ExoPolitics conference in, it's around the end of July. And there again, I'm not sure of the date, but I think maybe around the 23rd of July is when the actual conference starts in Barcelona. And it looks like we're going to break, and we'll be right
Attention,
back.
Attention, an important...
Okay, we're back. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're here with Doc Barham. If we have excellent luck, which I think we do. Doc, are you there?
I'm here, Carrie.
Okay, good. Nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear from you, too.
Okay, so I think it was a really good idea for you to come on, and as we talked about, talk about you know, sort of psychic self-defense, for lack of better words, and you can give it your own title. And I'd like you to tell people, just for those of you, of the listeners that don't know who you are, maybe an overview of your background so that they know who they're listening to.
Sure. Well, my company is Full Spectrum Consulting and Coaching, and I guess I would say I've been involved in learning about personal growth and development and conscious evolution since probably since the age of 12, when my dad gave me a copy of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, so about 30 years. My background in training is I went to Virginia Tech University for a double major in psychology and theater, and believe it or not, I left and became a professional stand-up comedian and a professional stage hypnotist and traveled the world for 10 years and learned an awful lot doing that. But during that time, I was always a lifelong learner, and during that time, I actually ended up becoming a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a neurofeedback and biofeedback clinician, and NLP master, and also the energy healing called Reiki, became a Reiki master, and a number of other things. I'm also a what's called an outreach trainer for the Monroe Institute, which is located in Virginia in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And they're a nonprofit scientific research institute that's devoted to the exploration of the expanded states of awareness and consciousness studies. Also a one-on-one trainer for the Institute of Heart Math, and we can talk about that a little bit more later on. But that's a little bit about my background, and I work with clients and with organizations, helping them to be the best they can be mentally, emotionally, physically, energetically, and spiritually.
Very nice. And I want people to know that the Monroe Institute, if you're not already familiar with the name Robert Monroe and his wonderful books, there are a lot of YouTube videos with Robert, and it's all about remote viewing and getting into different stages of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe you can maybe elaborate on your experience at the Monroe Institute. This is several years after the initial remote viewing group went there for their sort of immersion into that world.
Well, sure. I know that, for me, when I first went to the Monroe Institute many years ago now, I actually went there with a singular intention, which was to have an out-of-body experience. And my thinking at the time was I was somewhat skeptical about the whole notion of the out-of-body and whatnot. And my thinking was, well, if I go here and I apply the technology and the methodologies that they have, you know, I can then, if I have an out-of-body experience, that'll make a big shift in my life. I'll know that I'm more than my physical body. And so the first time that I went to the Monroe Institute, the first program, residential program that they have, which is called the Gateway Voyage, which is a week-long intensive. During that time, I had a number of conscious out-of-body experiences, and I had what some people would describe as a kundalini awakening. And it really sort of shifted my path to explore non-physical realms and subtle energetic realms and communication with non-physical energies and that sort of stuff. I think that the audio technology that the Monroe Institute uses, which is branded as HemiSync, is excellent audio technology. You know, if you go to the Internet and you type in binaural beats, you'll see that everybody out there these days has got their own little binaural beat technology. But the fact is that binaural beats are still a relatively esoteric science that I don't think many people understand very well. And I think they've really gotten it down to something of a science at the Monroe Institute. So I applaud their work. And I know the people who design, some of the people who've designed their binaural beat products for the last, you know, 15 years or so. But the thing about binaural beats, what they really do is if you take one frequency and you put it in the left ear and a different offset frequency, so say 500 hertz is what you put into the left ear and 495 hertz in the right ear, your brain actually has trouble processing the two offset frequencies. And this is sort of a general description of what happens in listening to binaural beats. But what it does is there's almost like a auditory illusion or a little trick. It subtracts out the difference between the two frequencies. So in this case, 500 and 495, there's a perceived third frequency, which is 5 hertz. And if you know about brainwave activity, you'll know that there are about 5 different brainwave states, which are gamma, beta, alpha, theta, and delta. And we'll concern ourselves with 4, which is beta is what you and I are in, hopefully in right now, and hopefully what your listeners are in right now, which is eyes open, waking attention, focused attention. And if you examine brainwave activity, that will fall in the range of about 33 to 13 or 14 hertz. And a hertz is basically the number of cycles per second or the number of wavelengths per second. And that's what beta is. Now, alpha is slower than that. Theta is even slower than that and normally associated with deep dreaming, REM sleep, deep, deep creativity, the kind of states that people like Einstein would move into when they were having their thought experiments. And also, I would say, right at the cusp of theta and the next level, which is delta, is where you fall into about 5 hertz. So if you listen to binaural beats, and in this case it was 500 and 495 hertz, you listen to it for about 10 minutes, what happens is that the sound and the process of trying to process the two different sounds actually works on a part of the brain called the superior olivary nucleus, which is partially responsible for regulating brainwave activity through the frequency-following response. What ends up happening, long story short, is through a process called entrainment, your brain begins to generate 5 hertz brainwave activity. So what you experience physically and in your consciousness is a slowing down and relaxing of your body, where your body will go to sleep, but your mind will be awake and aware. So if you've ever had that experience of sitting in front of a television set and you fall asleep, but you can still hear the TV set, it's a little bit like that. And it's from that state that people are actually able to move into expanded states of awareness, like lucid dreaming, or what they call out-of-body, astral projection, those kinds of things, remote viewing and whatnot. And what you're really doing is you're trying to take the conscious mind and kind of put it a little bit offline so that you have better access to the subconscious mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a great explanation, and I think that will help people to understand what's going on with those tapes. And I do think that they're valuable. Myself, I just started using them, and I think they're a lot of fun.
I mean, what they really are, in my mind, is like training wheels. So, you know, Bob Monroe, there's a little story that Bob Monroe, who passed away in 1995, he actually, before he passed away, had Buddhist monks come to the Monroe Institute and take the Gateway Voyage program. And at the end of the week, you know, he just sat down and talked with them and said, well, you know, what do you think? And in essence, what they said was that the technology that they listened to actually brought them to states that normally it would take the Buddhist monks 10 or 15 years to be able to cultivate through the traditional process of meditation. So these are basically, the audio technology is a way to shorten their learning curve and guide you to these states that would normally take a long time to cultivate. And once you have been to that state, you have sort of an internal experiential or kinesthetic bookmark, and you can get back to that relatively easier.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Although, in my case, I've been meditating for years and years and years. So it's interesting to be exposed to these now. You know, and to be honest, it's kind of like it doesn't, you know, in a certain sense, it doesn't do anything. But then I'm always in some kind of strange state. So I had a Kundalini experience a long time ago and have had recurring, actually, samadhi experiences, which have been very, very interesting. And the fact that it continues is really very cool. And so anyway, I encourage everyone to sort of investigate all of this. By the way, you're into Qigong. Is that how you say it?
Qigong? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're also learning that. Yeah, that's just a discipline that I practice. Qigong is basically, Qi is the Chinese for, universal life force energy, which some people, the Japanese call it Qi. The yogics call it prana. It's called ilan, vatal, or pneuma, or Mauna Loa in different cultures. But basically what it is life force energy. And then gong means practice or discipline or mastery. So basically qigong is the practice and mastery of life force energy. And the guy that I work with is a fellow by the name of Master Joe. And he is absolutely extraordinary. And people can actually type in Master J-O on the Internet and should be able to find some YouTube videos of him on Ripley's Believe It or Not or That's Incredible or those sorts of things. And I think that qigong is a wonderful practice for people being able to get in touch with themselves and also be able to experientially prove that subtle energies really do exist. You know, one of the things about our culture is that it's a very gross culture. It's very externally focused. And when I say gross, I mean in the sense of physical and material, not disgusting. So it's a very physical, material, externally oriented culture. And a practice, like a discipline like qigong, actually gives you a routine of study and a methodology of study to be able to have a direct experience of these subtle energies in all their different forms. You can actually begin to feel it moving through your body. You can feel it between your hands. You can feel it around your body. You can feel it between people. You can actually begin to sense the chakras and the acupuncture points in the meridian system itself. And this is one of those things where when I get into conversations with people and they're skeptical, you know, these days I sort of sidestep the sort of let me prove it, because this is not stuff that I can prove. This is stuff, because it's subtle in its nature, that you have to prove for yourself, and the only way you can prove it is by doing the work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's probably a good way to go. Proving it is actually really beside the point. I think that if people listen in at all for any period of time, and I think most people do, whether they actually know it or not, you can be riding a train, riding a bus, going in the subway, your mind wanders. You may not have any idea where you're actually going to. You just may think you're daydreaming, and you may be time traveling, in fact, and doing all sorts of things.
Absolutely. I mean, we are without a doubt multidimensional beings. So
exactly.
Go ahead.
No. I just wanted to say that very briefly. I just had a conversation yesterday with a fascinating person who is a very traditional individual sounding. Of course, I talked to them on the phone, so I can, you know, attest to all this. But I have to say that what she told me is absolutely outside the realm of what most people experience. She's actually time traveling at night, and she's having total recall. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely fascinating what she's coming up with. She's in contact with somebody from the future, and I've been now encouraged her to write about it, and maybe we'll be able to publish something on Camelot. But it's really amazing, because this person is, you know, exposed to really the middle of the road type of mentality, the dominant paradigm. And from what she told me, most of her friends come from that world, and yet even her friends, when hearing about her experiences, have been encouraging her to write about it.
Sure.
So I think that we really can cross all the boundaries in terms of different types of groups of populations. And actually, if Camelot could reach those people, I think that sooner or later they'd find themselves wrapped up and involved and having their own experiences.
Right. I think it does come down to, like, what we were talking about before, is that there's no need to get into an argument about it. There is every reason to have a discussion about it. And for those people who are interested, curious, and are ready to believe, they're going to have to go and do the practice and the discipline and the work. And for those people who are skeptical, if they want to prove it, they're going to have to go and do the work too. That's really the only way that, you know, you can have an informed opinion, is by doing the work. And I know that for myself, you know, from a long time ago, being very, very skeptical. Even back, you know, like, for example, you know, before I really had done hypnosis, I was very skeptical of that. And the way I looked at it was, well, it's been around for thousands of years, and a lot of people have done it. Many, many books have been written about it. So it's probably unlikely that every single person who ever talked about it or wrote about it or worked in it for an entire lifetime was completely full of crap and delusional. that right. is logically untenable. So there's probably something here, so I should probably go and check it out. And it's the same thing with any of this kind of stuff, whether it's out-of-body experience or whether it's psychic experience or whether it's time travel experience. I mean, I do know from my own experience that there are aspects of the self and aspects of consciousness that are outside of space-time, and that so much of our experience generates the experience of space-time, if that makes sense. We're very much right. intimately involved. Our consciousness is very much intimately involved in one respect in generating the experience of space-time itself.
Exactly. In fact, we are co-creators of this reality, so yeah. that's exactly what we're doing. And I guess it's where you switch them. You say that we're in space-time, but when you go outside time-space, you're mm-hmm. in time-space. And actually, time is an illusion anyway. But yep. this audience that we're sort of talking to, I believe, are people that will be very familiar with these sorts of things. And because of that, what we want to do is sort of jump into the deep end, if you will.
Great.
And talk about exactly what we were discussing in the parking lot the other day when you brought up the idea of that Camelot ought to be sort of preparing the people that come on board that want to investigate these worlds, some of whom are new to it and many of whom are very, very familiar with everything, except that they may not be sort of protecting themselves sufficiently because of the nature of what we do and how very involved the rabbit hole really is. And mm-hmm. what Camelot is all about is actually going in as deep as we can get,
right.
to be honest. And you're helping us at the moment with that, I have to say, and thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So why don't you talk about what people can do to protect themselves on a psychic level and in their everyday life, and also some of the things that they might be encountering, because I think that would also be helpful.
Sure. I mean, the very first thing I would say to people as far as healthy psychic self-defense is to stay in your body. And what I mean by that is that there are aspects of your consciousness that are able to project themselves, and we can talk about that a little bit more at the break, after the break.
Yeah, we're going to the break. Thanks a lot, and we'll be right back. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're back on the air with Doc Barham, our special guest. And I want to say that we are the resistance. If you haven't seen the new Terminator movie, I highly recommend it. It has a wonderful message to humanity at the end of it, which you wouldn't actually normally expect from a Terminator movie, but I have to tell you that it does. And I also have to tell you that some of our whistleblower testimony is actually testifying to some very important truths that are revealed in the Terminator movies in general. And so now we're back with Doc Barham. Doc, you there?
Yes, I am, Carrie.
Okay, so let's pick up where we left off and actually go into that sort of deeper psychic defense and what people can do.
Sure. Well, I would... Usually when I start discussing these kinds of things with folks who are interested in learning about them, I like to start off with the sort of really simple and easy things that you can do right away and then build on top of those. You know, for example, you have a physical body, then you have what's called an energy body, and that energy body is also surrounded by layers of what some people would call an energy field or an aura and that sort of thing. And then you have what's called your astral body, and then you have also what's called your causal body. So for the simplest form of psychic self-defense, since the energies of the lighter bodies, meaning not your physical body, but the energy body and the astral body and whatnot, they literally respond to intention. And when I say intention, I mean thought coupled with feeling. So if you've ever read David Hawkins' work, he has an interesting sort of map of the scale of consciousness where he talks about different states and different emotions operating at different sort of levels, or levels of consciousness, rather. And you'll find that, for example, if you're in a space of fear, that that is a very low, slow, heavy, dense, energetic. And we tend to draw to us, I would say, you know, some people talk about the secret or law of attraction, but we tend to draw to us those things that we are giving off. So if we are in a fear space in our mindset and in a fear space in our emotions, that we'll tend to have those kinds of experiences that will confirm our beliefs in our everyday life. Now, if one will simply shift themselves into a different state, a more positive emotional state, what they'll find is they have a different, like tuning into a different radio band altogether. And what that literally does, believe it or not, is if you're in a state of happiness, positivity, joy, excitement, those kinds of things, the auric field actually gets larger and it becomes fluffier and more powerful and denser. And that's literally one of the simplest, easiest ways, believe it or not, to begin to protect yourself, is to move out of a fear space and into a more optimal, positive headspace. That's the first thing you can do.
I think that's excellent. And one of the things, though, that we should address is how people can actually do that. Because if you get a person who is sort of used to going along on a certain line of sort of thought and feeling, they have trouble actually lifting themselves out of that into another state.
That's
and
right.
So I'm sure you have some techniques. I would certainly say that one of the things is meditation and following one's breathing and doing some just basic breathing exercises. Also, some simple yoga exercises can actually change your brain waves.
Absolutely.
But why don't you take off from there?
Okay, yeah. There is probably one of the simplest techniques to get yourself really grounded and really, really centered and to shift your state of mind is, like you were talking about, the following of the breath. It's called Anapanasati, and it means mindfulness of breath. And what one does is shift your awareness from your head, which most of us are normally way too up in our head too much of the time, which is energetically pretty inefficient. Just shift your awareness down into your body space, into your chest, right around what some people would call the center of your chest or sternum or heart chakra, and then begin to become present to the breath and breathing, where you're just observing it. You're just sort of witnessing the breath. Because you breathe, it's involuntary, you breathe naturally, slowly, and by just being present to the actual sensation of breath flowing in and flowing out, that will begin to shift your mental state. And as a matter of fact, with the Institute of Heart Math, what they found is that if one does that, focusing on that area in their breathing, it actually begins to make the heart beat in a more coherent fashion. And the heart is connected to the brain via the vagus nerve, and then makes the brain more coherent. So if you think about people who are incoherent, that means they're scattered and they lack focus, etc., etc. When your breathing becomes rhythmic, slow, easy, natural, and gentle, the heart begins to entrain the brain, and the brain actually then begins to entrain every other system in the body. So you'll find that that simple practice of just watching your breath literally can bring mental, emotional, physical, energetic, all those levels into alignment and make them more powerful and more coherent. So you'll find that the kind of thoughts that you're thinking will shift and tend to shift away from negative thoughts to more positive thoughts. The kind of emotions that you feel will begin to shift from more negative to more positive emotions, etc., etc. Now, one of the things I would add to that is the distinction, and this is something that I do with a lot of my clients, is the simple distinction. I'll ask people, are you your thoughts? And a lot of people will say yes. And so then what I'll ask them to do is you know, okay, let's see if we can test that. Now I'll say, close your eyes. Think of a pink elephant. Now open your eyes. Now look down. Are you a pink elephant? And they'll say, of course, they'll say no. And that's proof positive that you're not your thoughts. And this is important because what we say, either in our speech or in our thoughts, actually programs our perception and our reality. So when somebody realizes that they're not their thoughts, but rather they have thoughts, it makes a slight dissociation for the first time that allows somebody to begin to be able to work with their thoughts. You know, when you're completely identified with something, you can't work with it because it's who you are. So you can't look at letting go of something if you're identified with a thought or a belief or an emotion. The first step that you have to make is to be able to disidentify from it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to actually move beyond this now into something that will deal with sort of a little more advanced state. In other words, people that are conscious of that, people that are or do think they are protecting themselves, and there are various imageries for that that I'm sure you can discuss.
Sure.
And then also. Talk about the corresponding sort of environments, if you will, and the potential entities, you know, not in any great description. We probably don't have time for that. But you know what I'm saying? In other words, describe the terrain and the environment that they may be dealing with on a psychic level such that they may need even better protection.
Sure. If you could see with your, as they call it, your third eye, but I actually like to think of it as your first eye. But if you could see with that, if you were to walk around, like just go to a grocery store, and if you had second sight, what you would notice is that the auric field that most people have, the way that it looks to the second sight, is it's very, very cloudy. It looks like pig pen from Peanuts. And what that is all of their own thoughts, repetitive thoughts, and also it's a lot of the thoughts that are sort of literally thought forms, if you can see them, the way they are representative to the psychic eye, is they look like things that fly back and forth. And they'll literally be drawn or attracted to someone's auric field that is similar, that has a resonant quality. So fear tends to draw fear, and, you know, positivity tends to draw positivity. Now, if you're walking around in that grocery store, and you see people's auric fields are very cloudy like that, you'll also notice that whenever people have thoughts that are particularly charged with emotion, and what you'll find is that thought forms literally fly out from the field of the individual and will fly off to, like, for example, whoever they're thinking about. Or thought forms will fly, you know, if the person in front of you pisses you off, you'll actually see darts or thought forms fly out from that person to the other person's field. But one of the simplest ways that you can also protect yourself is you can, like I said before, intention, energy flows where attention goes, and your intention will actually cause energy to coalesce at the astral level and the non-physical energetic level. You can bring down a tube of white light by visualizing a crystal clear cylinder that's hollow, and you bring it down from above, and you actually run the tube all the way down to the center of the earth and anchor it there. And then what you do, the next thing you do is you bring a violet flame up from the center of the earth, up through the tube, up beyond your head, all the way up the tube, so that you're literally anchored inside a protective golden white tube of light. And the violet flame has a long history. Some will call it the I am flame. But the violet flame is purgative and cleansing. So if you can see that with your second sight, anyone who sits, like a lot of times in my practice when I'm sitting with clients and they're releasing a lot of stuff, I'll literally just sit in a violet flame. And what that does is just keep my field really clear. And how that's experienced in my mind is that I have a lot less emotional chatter and mental chatter. So So emotionally, I'll be more calm, more centered, more balanced. I'll be protected, less affected by the thought forms of other people, whether they're conscious or unconscious, or the emotional forms of other people. So that's one of the simplest, most powerful techniques that I know, which is bringing down the tube of white light and bringing up the violet flame.
Okay, very good. And what I also wanted to talk about was, because you had dealt a little bit in the past with, I believe, exorcism and other aspects of things, and you actually moved kind of away from that after a while, from if I remember correctly. But I would like you to talk about what, you know, what kinds of things you encountered to some degree, and also what you did as a response, and how you had to sort of become almost a psychic warrior in order to protect yourself.
Right. Well, there's a lot more, what I would say, there's a lot more life forms that are in the non-physical that are out of body than are in the physical incarnate body. So there's just billions more beings that are out of body than are in body. And they are, you know, interfacing with our reality on a regular basis. If you ever read the book Flatland by Abbott, it's an interesting description where the main character is A Square, who's a two-dimensional being. And A Square has an experience of another character who's a three-dimensional being called Lord Sphere. And what happens is that Lord Sphere is a sphere, that's how he's described, and he moves through A Square's two-dimensional universe. And as he moves through the two-dimensional universe, A-Square perceives him as a circle that gets bigger and smaller as he moves through it. And I think that's a great description of how higher-dimensional energies, higher-dimensional beings will be able to be perceived by us in this four-dimensional space-time reality that we find ourselves experiencing. My experience is that people can, for example, end up getting what are called entities. There's a methodology that's called spirit releasement therapy. Some people will call it depossession work. But if, how will I describe this best? It's a very, very big topic.
I realize that, but I think that you can actually deal with it because this audience, you have to assume a great deal of understanding as sort of the basis and go from there.
Sure. For example, if someone dies and they don't, quote, go to the light, they can actually remain in an astral plane that intersects with our own, and that person will actually need to continue to constitute themselves energetically. So you'll find that sometimes, like for example, if somebody dies and they have a lot of habits or addiction, like an alcoholic, if you have second sight and you go into a bar, you'll see a lot of entities in a bar that will be flying around, and they'll move into the field of somebody, and they will then begin to influence that individual and can influence them to, for example, drink and get more drunk. And since
okay,
that's what they
we're
want,
going, sorry. Okay, we're back. Okay, this is Carrie Cassidy, and this is Whistleblower Radio, Project Camelot. We've got Doc Barham on the line, and we are getting into psychic self-defense. So go ahead, Doc. Let's kind of go down from where you were.
Oh, okay, so what I was saying is that, you know, I used to live in San Francisco, and when I would go into a bar, I'd actually be able to see these energies and entities move into the energy field of people. And they would influence them, and you'd watch somebody change their behavior in a very rapid, short period of time, where the guy would go from being sober to getting drunk really rapidly and seeming almost like they were, you know, like compulsive addictive behavior, you know, or some people could say like they were kind of possessed by something. And, you know, these can be actual beings out of body, non-physical beings. Or they can actually be, believe it or not, fragments, what I call frags or fragments of consciousness. And if you go into the literature on soul releasement or spirit releasement therapy, depossession or entity depossession, people will talk about this regularly, where they'll seem like they are beings, but they're actually not. They're actually sort of fragments of consciousness that are programmed to do something. And so in order to continue to survive, what they need is life force energy. And so in the case of if you had a fragment that moves around into a bar, it will lodge itself as an entity in that person's either chakra system or in their one of their energy bodies. And so is this making sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So then you need to talk to people about how you went about, you know, helping them get rid of those entities.
Well, okay, in the case of an actual being, the simplest thing to do is to communicate to that entity or being, and individuals can do this as well. It may actually seem like a part of the self, so you would close your eyes, get very quiet, and you would begin to communicate to that part and make it aware that it's no longer serving you. And what will happen is that that part will be, that part, that entity that's lodged there, will begin to shift because your intention will force it to have to leave your space. What's literally happening is that you are partially being displaced by the energy of another entity or a being. So the first thing literally to say is, treatment fair, secure boundaries, I am here. Or you can say manifest essence. That will bring you into your body fully and completely. Then you will close your eyes and feel into the subtle energy field, feel into that is around the body and through the body, feel into the chakra system, and you'll find some people are very visual, so what it'll seem like to them in their mind is that they see what look like blobs that are dark, either black or brown, things like that. So, for example, you might find if you have a lot of emotions that are stuck in a particular place in you, you might find it in your solar plexus. And what it does is it's tapping your will. So you might see what looks like a brown or a black or dark purple blob in the chakra at the solar plexus. And you can literally surround it with energy and ask it to leave. You can also literally ask for guidance to assist you in removing it. Another thing that you can do is surround that black blob or darkly colored blob, if it appears to you visually in your mind, with a bag of white light, put a cinch sack around it, send a rope up, so to speak, and literally ask it for it to be removed from the solar plexus chakra. That would be one example of what some... So everyone's very different. Some people are very visual, so they need to use visual techniques. Some people are very auditory, so they'll hear stuff that sounds like internal dialogue. And some people are very kinesthetic, so they'll be more focused on what's going on in the feeling of the body.
Okay, well, I also would like you to talk about how people can deal with protecting themselves in terms of information that they think they're getting from various sources, whether it be the most positive, obviously, would be one's higher self. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people are deceived as to this actual source of the information they're getting. And we at Camelot are getting all kinds of emails from people who think they're tapping into this thing or that thing, or they've got the answers, so and so forth. And what's really important, I think, is for those people to begin to be able to discern what level of the information is coming from.
Well, one of the things that you can do is that when you are hearing a voice or sensing a presence and you want to know whether or not that presence is has your highest fulfillment in mind, because just because you don't have a body doesn't mean that you're spiritually advanced. There are a lot of lower astral planes where a lot of pretty negative energies and beings hang out. So generally we want to try to just naturally not resonate at that level, but that doesn't mean that they aren't around and don't try to influence you. One of the simplest things you can do, and I'm really about doing simple, practical things that are powerful, not getting really involved into super complicated stuff, because that tends to draw you into a lot of egoic stuff. Simply saying manifest essence to an energy or a voice that you think that you're channeling or connecting with will actually, it's almost like forcing them to reveal who they truly are. The simple phrase, manifest essence, is incredibly powerful. The other thing is to set an intention, which is if your will is not in alignment with the will of God or in the service of the highest, then be gone now. And these are actually fundamental principles and laws of the universe, where the beings that are in favor of growth, conscious evolution, what we call the light, obey by those rules, and those that don't will be removed. So I would say manifest essence is extremely powerful. What's that?
I think that that's very, very good. I believe that we're going to another break now, and it's the top of the hour. We're going to be back on the second hour. Sometime around the last half hour to 45 minutes, we will take calls. So for those of you that want to call in, let me see if I can grab the phone number here. Actually, no shot whatsoever. Well, go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and you should be able to see the phone number to call in there. Okay, thanks. Bye. This is Carrie Cassidy and Project Camelot. This is Whistleblower Radio. We're on the air with Doc Barham. We're sort of drilling down into psychic self-defense. And, Doc, I think you've been giving some great tips that people can use that will really help them out.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I think that we should also talk about sort of the mind control or intentional attacks that come not from so much entities, but actually from the third dimensional type of people that are working on the service to self side versus the service to others. And maybe you can address how to deal with those EM energies.
Well, I would say that there's sort of two different classes of attacks. And some of them are electronic or electromagnetic in nature. And then there are other attacks which are psychic in nature. And if the individual is a service to self individual, those attacks are essentially, whether they're conscious or unconscious, is basically what, you know, you would call good old fashioned black magic. And that's very real. And people do regularly curse and hex one another, on a regular basis. And clearing your field regularly, making sure that you're in your body, by saying manifest essence, bringing down the tube of white light, running the violet flame, meditating, using the Anapanasati breath work. These are all ways to keep you fully and completely centered and grounded in your body and aligned with your highest source. So a regular practice of that, almost like a psychic hygiene, is one way to keep yourself clear of the effects of psychic attacks. Now, what I would say in the case of electromagnetic stuff is that there are some devices that are coming out now that actually have the ability to be able to add some protection in an electromagnetic sense. There's a company called New Tesla that is beginning to work on technologies like the My Pendulum device and the Metronome device, the Purius, the Clarius. And these actually give you electromagnetic protection in different ways. For example, the My Pendulum generates an electromagnetic field that is based on circadian rhythm of the human body and surrounds the body in a protective electromagnetic field and will help disrupt impinging electromagnetic fields from any number or variety of sources. The Clarius is a device that actually will help you at your workstation to protect you from impinging electromagnetic fields. And we could think of these as basically like electromagnetic smog or pollution. But the interesting thing is that they also have, if somebody's actually engaged in electromagnetic harassment, these devices will help to a certain degree. The Purius device actually clears an entire home. So it generates a protective electromagnetic field for the entire home. And New Tesla is spelled N-U, and then Tesla like the inventor.
Okay, and I think it's important to say here that you don't have a stake in any of those companies, right?
Well, I've worked with a number of different companies, like the people I've worked with New Tesla. Some people will find me working in a capacity with them. But the reason that I work with them, and I'm glad you asked that, because I've worked with the people from Q-Link and some of these other companies, and the only reason that I have continued to talk and work with the people at New Tesla is because the product works. And what I need is scientific proof. So if I'm talking about something that works, like the new Tesla products, it's because I've really checked out and researched and seen, you know, the oscilloscope readings to see that it actually works. The products like Q-Link work in a different way, and they're not nearly as effective. There's a ton of these protective devices out there, and what people really need is good quality information to sort out the bullshit from the real true stuff that works.
Actually, we always need that. Thanks a lot, Doc, and we'll be right back after this break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MAINEMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
No Saturday night would be complete without Nancy, Katie, and all their friends at the Liberty Cafe. Listen in from 7 to 11 every Saturday night, only on the Freedom Underground.
this is Perry Cassidy and Project Camelot. We're on the air with Doc Barham. And Doc, during the break, some people were writing to me and asking us to give out some URLs. So why don't we do that?
Oh, sure. Okay. Let's see. One of the things I would say is that there is a radiant energy technology device. There are a number of them out there, but one of the ones that I do know that works and I have worked with and work with my clients with, it's a radiant energy device called a life stream generator. And if you go to zeropointresearch.com, you can find that device, and that will actually help to clear the field in and around the body. And you will find that, believe it or not, it actually helps clear entities. So it's a pretty powerful device. It's not cheap. But it does work, and it's extremely powerful.
Why don't we just suggest right here and now that Leo Zagami should go to that website and purchase that? Because as much as I love Leo, he could use some help there.
Right. The interesting thing is if there's Alberto Bioldo is a shaman who does some really, really good work. And what's very interesting is that in the shamanic practice where they clear entities, one of the things that they'll do is take one hand, the left palm chakra, and put it over the chakra at the base, just above the buttocks, the second chakra there. And then they'll take the other hand and that chakra and put it over the individual's back throat chakra. And then they will run energy between the two chakras, up the Shishumna tube and up the spine, and that will actually tend to displace or dislodge entities. And these entities can actually said like they could be negative entities, they can be fragments, or they can be lost souls. But typically they'll run energy. Now what's interesting is that's one way to dislodge entities in a non-technological sense. Another way is to use the life stream generator. And there's actually been a fair amount of what I would say edge or fringe science that's been done in this regard. The other products that I mentioned before, like the My Pendulum and that sort of thing from New Tesla. New Tesla is a new company, and you go to nutesla.com, you can find their products, and I recommend that you check it out. So I don't receive any remuneration or monies from New Tesla whatsoever.
Okay, great.
Some other products that I really think are great for this kind of stuff. Believe it or not, one of them is a supplement that's called Mega Hydrate from Phi Sciences and Dr. Patrick Flanagan. And the research of Dr. Hiroshi Motoyama has found that the meridian system itself is actually charged in part by hydrogen. So Mega Hydrate is actually a supplement that you take that is hydrogen with an extra ion bonded to it, extra electron that's bonded to it. And what happens is when you take it into your body, it floods your entire body with hydrogen so that it will eliminate free radicals. So it acts as an antioxidant. And in fact, one Mega Hydrate pill has the equivalent antioxidant effect of 7,000 glasses of orange juice. So it's really an extraordinary product. But what it will do is it will make your body physically healthier. It will also charge the meridian system and help to clear blockages in the acupuncture points in the meridian system itself, which will strengthen your energy body.
Let's repeat that so that it's called Mega Hydrate. Is
Mega
that right?
Hydrate. Yeah,
it's Patrick Flanagan's website. Is that where it's available, or is it other places as well?
It's actually available through his website. If you go to Phi Sciences, P-H-I, sciences.com, and I'm not sure, but it may be available at GNC under the other name, which is Hydrogen Boost, but don't quote me on that one. I do know for a fact it's available through the Phi Sciences website. And I take it daily, and it really does some remarkable work. And if anybody wants to check out the research that I'm talking about, if they go to Dr. Hiroshi Motoyama's California Institute for Human Sciences, which is CIHS.edu, They can read about Dr. Motoyama's work in trying to prove that energy fields, chakra systems, psychic ability, chi, all of that, that this is real. He's a doctor and multi-PhD, about 80 years old. He's from Japan, and he's also been a yoga practitioner for over 75 years.
Fabulous. That sounds great. We would love to have Patrick Flanagan on our show, of course,
mm-hmm.
and I think that you're going to be putting us in touch with him fairly shortly, aren't you?
Sure, I'll be happy to do that.
Okay, great. So let's talk a little bit about really what's going on in terms of the, if you will, the sort of psychic terrain that people are encountering as we go through this energy change that the planet is actually involved in. Can you apply it to in a worldwide sense?
Well, I think that globally what's happening is that the planet is actually increasing its overall average level of consciousness. That's literally what is happening. And that increase in consciousness in the process of increasing the overall level of consciousness, there is a purging or a processing of material that can no longer exist at this new higher level of consciousness. So that's why you're seeing a lot of, you know, negative crap come up. So if you were to take it on the individual level, we would call it shadow material. So those aspects of the psyche, be they karmic or not, that are out of conscious awareness, but that as you continue to do personal growth and development work, conscious evolution, that material then becomes conscious and in your awareness, and you must process it. It's sort of like food that you've eaten that you haven't digested or metabolized. So, in this case, it's actually psychic material, mental, emotional material, and that's actually happening on a global level as well. So that's why you're seeing a lot of very interesting and bizarre manifestations, things that are seemingly negative. It's stuff that's being cleared.
Good. That's very good. That's a great sort of overview. Can you apply it a little deeper now? Because we're dealing with the powers that be, that is the Illuminati. We're talking about actual black musicians. And I apologize, my dog is drinking water in the background here. So we have some sound effects. But you know what I'm saying in terms of what they're dealing with? Because obviously you're talking to Project Camelot, and in light of the level at which we're dealing with the changes, can you address some of that? Because we're dealing with reptilian energy, we're dealing with the grays, and we're dealing with, in other words, in the real world, coming from the 4D into the 3D, we have all sorts of energies and entities coming in, as well as, you know, in body, out of body, so on. But we also have the Illuminati who are channeling some of these energies and pushing them in certain directions. Can you mm-hmm. address that at all?
Well, one of the things I would say, if you could ask a more specific question, I'd be happy to address it. So I'll just give a more general answer. And this is not to sound cliche, it's actually the truth, is that any energy that is higher and more refined and more coherent, meaning psychic energy, mental, emotional energy, consciousness itself, is always going to have greater frequency and amplitude. It's going to have more power than energy that is dark. So literally, in the way that somebody takes a flashlight and shines it on the darkness and the shadow goes away, if you do your own work on a daily basis, or if you find a group of people to work with, you know, for example, I don't know if you know about the research of the Maharishi University and the Transcendental Meditators, where they get together as a group and they will meditate on a particular outcome, like reducing crime in the San Francisco Bay Area. That will actually impact the collective consciousness and the morphogenic field, as Rupert Sheldrake talks about it. So, I mean, that would be my recommendation if people want to be proactive and solution-oriented, to do certain things like that. Do your own individual work. Do work with other individuals who are like-minded and like-spirited. Move into community, so to speak, and networks that are about that, and take proactive and be solution-oriented. The powers that be, so to speak, are going to continue to do what they do. That's just how it has always been. They will continue to do what they do. So what we do is we continue to do what we do. And we'll find that as things change, the abilities and powers that they have will continue to fragment and disintegrate. And, I mean, this is my own personal belief system, and it's based on my experience and work. But there's a lot of powers that be that are in the non-physical state that are assisting us, whether they're extraterrestrial or whether they're higher dimensional as well. So we should never forget that.
Very good point. I have somebody who is writing in asking whether or not you feel that orgone generators are good psi protective devices.
Well, you know, Wilhelm Reich was a real genius, and I think that it's very difficult to prove that orgone exists. However, it's not very difficult to prove to yourself experientially that there's something to it. And what I mean by that is when I used to live in San Francisco, I read the Orgone Energy Handbook and had my next-door neighbor, who was a carpenter and a Zen Buddhist monk, build me an orgone box. And I put it on the deck out back of my apartment and worked with it every day. And I can attest that there is something really to those orgone accumulator boxes. They are drawing some kind of energy, cohering or collecting some kind of energy, and that energy does seem to be energy that is that helps reconstitute and rejuvenate you. So anytime that you're taking in, you know, better, higher quality energy and you're building up, you know, your charge like you're a battery, you're going to be more protected. That's a fact. You know, if you look at what's going on to people in general, you have a system where you want what they're doing is keeping people out of their body as much as possible, which allows for, you know, invasive energies to come in. And the way they do that is by having people eat crappy food that is bad for the body and rags the body out, the organ system, the digestive system. It also throws you off energetically and drains you. They have people drinking bad water, breathing bad quality air, and these are all stressors on an individual, which takes away from their energy that would normally allow them to be a much more centered, grounded, focused, and autonomous being. If you look at the public school system, what you'll find is that in the public school system, you know, people go through that and receive indoctrination and training. They don't receive education towards enlightenment. And that,
exactly,
again, is to keep a cap and a ceiling on people. If you watch television, you'll know that the TV set itself is literally a hypnotic alpha wave entrainment device, and that most of the programming appeals to our lower sort of second chakra and below base drives. Things like fear, things like sex, things like food, power, money, and these are literally, in a sense, hypnotic programs that are installed into our subconscious through daily repetition, through watching television and being entrained by the alpha frequency of the television set itself. So for psychic self-defense and protection, what one would engage in is a personal growth and development program where they're beginning to master their thoughts, clear out old programming that they've received since the first time they were put in front of a television set, learn to get back in their body, learn to engage in emotional mastery, take up a spiritual practice, discover, you know, the Buddha was a spiritual scientist. In science, what you say is, I have a hypothesis, I'm going to test it in experiment, I'm going to look at the results, present them to the community, and then I'm going to ask the community to replicate the experiment to see if they can replicate the results. This is exactly what the Buddha said. He said, I experienced enlightenment. I don't ask you to believe me. I'm not your savior. You are the one who has to do the work. However, here's the Noble Eightfold Path. Here's exactly what I did, the steps that I went through. Try it for yourself. See what results you get and come back to me. So that kind of spirituality is very grounded and very centered and very real and ultimately scientific in nature.
Yeah, that's actually excellent, an excellent overview again. And thank you for that. The last line I would have to say that Buddha didn't say, come back to me, actually. He said, or don't come back to me, really. Go your own way.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
At any rate, it's very true what you're saying. And that's actually a great way to look at it. So from here, what would you like to talk about? I mean, in terms of one thing I'd like to do, because we are going to go to a break in just not too long from now, is maybe give out your website.
Sure.
And also talk a little bit about how various practices, in other words, learning Tai Chi or other things could possibly help people along these lines.
Sure. I would be happy to talk about that, and I'm happy to talk about what I think are the things that are kind of being done to people intentionally or unintentionally that people can become conscious of and then look at sort of things they can do to be able to shift that.
That sounds great. So first give your website, because
my website is real simple. It's myfullspectrumcoaching.com. So full spectrum like the rainbow, myfullspectrumcoaching.com. And if people have questions or they'd like to contact me or they're interested in doing some work together, some one-on-one work in person or via phone or Skype, they can always contact me through my email docbarham@gmail.com. And that's docbarham@gmail.com.
Okay, that's great. So let me see. What can we talk about really quickly here so that, you know, we right before the break, so that you can cover a little bit more material? I, for one, would love you to tell some of your past record, you know, like when you worked with that. I don't know, was a basketball player? I thought that was a fascinating story.
Oh, okay. There was I guess I can talk about Elton Brand, the starting power forward, formerly for the Clippers, now plays for the Sixers in Philadelphia.
Yeah, a little bit about that little saga, because I think people are interested to hear, now that they've heard some of your great advice, they'd also like to know what you have been able to do for some pretty powerful people out there, artists, people in sports, so on.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the clients that I work with a lot of athletes, a lot of artists, and a lot of executives, and Elton Brand was one of those who we worked with over two seasons before he relocated to Philadelphia. And Elton is a great guy, and he was...
Okay, so sorry to interrupt you there, Doc. We're going to go to break here, and let's pick it up on the other side of the hour.
Okay.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, not on my critics.
Okay, we're back. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We're on air with Doc Barham.
Hi.
Hi, Doc. So maybe we can now go over to the basketball player that you were able to help out to become actually, you know, the best he could be.
Sure. And what we're really talking about is that we're talking about mastery or self-mastery. And what I think in general is that if you look at the process of evolution, that conscious evolution is an outgrowth and natural process of evolution itself when we think of biological evolution. And so in the case of Elton, when somebody comes in like Elton and says, I want to be the best that I can be, it's a guy who's telling me that he wants to consciously evolve in every area of his life, mentally, emotionally, physically, energetically, and spiritually. And so we did an assessment, found out what his needs were on all those five different domains and dimensions, and we then put together a program to help him be the best. And after the first season of working together, he went from being ranked 30th in the NBA to being ranked 6th. He ended up being selected for the NBA All-Star team. He was 3rd on the Most Valuable Player list, and also took the Clippers to their first season of playoff play in the history of that franchise. And it was really through I got to give Elton a lot of credit. He's really coachable, and he really did the work, and so that's why he got the results. And some of the things that we did, we used NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and a simple example of what we did there is we talked about who are the people who are your rivals, who are the people who are your, you know, arch nemesis, whether it's Shaquille O'Neal or whoever it may be. And we talked about what is it that comes up instantly. What's the instant thought and feeling that comes up when you see that person as far as the negative stuff, the negative thoughts and feelings? And we listed that. Now, what are the positive stuff that comes up when you think of that rival? And what we did is we basically, using NLP and using a few different forms of hypnosis, we eliminated any of the negative emotional thoughts, or negative emotional states and thoughts, and amplified all of the positive thoughts and emotional states, so that that person, whenever he thought of them or saw that person or interacted with that person on the court, that their presence literally activated the best in Elton. So it's great when you can take the person who is your rival and make them an anchor for you to be able to manifest your full potential. And that's one thing that we did, like I said, with NLP and hypnosis. We worked in sensory deprivation tanks, flotation tanks together, where he would float in the tank and I would be lined in on a microphone, and we would do hypnosis and NLP that way for peak performance. I brought in a number of body workers doing massage and rolfing and other kinds of body work. I had him actually see Master Joe, who we talked about earlier, to do some Qigong work and strengthen his energy body. We put him on a nutritional program and superfoods supplementation program to help him physically. And we just did a whole very elaborate program so that he was completely immersed in something to help him be his best on every single level, including we did neurofeedback and biofeedback training. And it really works. So it doesn't really matter if it's Elton Brand or whether it's, you know, the average person on the street. You know, they are the same as they're a soul having a human experience. And there are better ways of thinking and better ways of feeling and better ways of doing things. And that's what we're all about, is helping people to do that.
And it's true that you actually have sort of a team that you have in place around you. It's not actually you just working by yourself. You're networked in with quite an important team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's more than I can do by myself. And I also am smart enough to know that if I get into an area that's not my expertise, the smartest thing for me to do is to go find somebody who that is their expertise. And so I have a close network of other practitioners that I am aligned with and that are in alignment with the model that I employ. And so what we'll do is, when a client comes in and we do the assessment and we create the program, when it comes time for them to bring in that particular practitioner, we'll either have the practitioner come into the office or we'll simply refer the client to the practitioner's office. And there's some pretty extraordinary people that I'm connected with who've been just wonderful to work with.
Yeah, and that's true that you also have remote viewers involved with you that can take a look at a situation if somebody has something going on and can kind of give them feedback.
Absolutely. In fact, the remote viewers that I work with, I've known them for years. They're some of the best people that I've ever met. They're pretty cloaked in general. They like to live a low profile. But I've worked with them in a number of different cases where, you know, if someone is experiencing harassment and they're out of their depth, I contact my friends who are these remote viewers and very adept psychics, and they can always dial in and take a look at what's going on and clear anything that's there. And I'll usually do that in session with them. That's been a very interesting process working with them. It's brought a whole new dimension into the work. And I've actually been able to do a lot of work with them in the sense of diagnosis, health assessment, almost like medical intuitives. So there's been a number of times where, you know, we are doing diagnosis and we'll get to a place where we get stumped, and we bring in the remote viewer and they can do their work and can say, actually, I think this is what's going on. And then we take them to the practitioner who would be able to check that out and confirm or deny it. And we find that these guys are uncanny in their ability to be able to isolate and identify what the issue is or issues are.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I mean, it's the real in a real sense what holistic medicine should really be about.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In many ways, you're approaching it in the holistic way. And I would have to say that very few health professionals out there are really doing what you're doing in terms of getting together a whole team.
Well, I find that it's easier and that it's more fun, too. It's a lot more fun to work with a community of like-minded people. And, you know, what happens is as you get that community and that network together, when everyone's in alignment, you create something where the sum is greater than the parts. And that's why I was talking about earlier with people out there who are listening, that I totally recommend that they, you know, get themselves networked into a community of like-minded souls. And the first step is, for example, listening to this radio show and things like that.
Right. And that kind of moves on to something else we've been talking about. As you know, that one of the things that I've been thinking about doing on the side here is sort of a spin-off to Project Camelot, in which we're talking about a website that would help people to develop themselves just as you were doing, basically, and as a synchronicity, you came along to sort of help us with our upcoming conference, the Awaken Aware in LA, that's happening on September 19th and 20th here in the Los Angeles area, and everyone's welcome to come on to our Camelot website and click over to that and come along. It'll be a great networking event just along those lines, as well as having some absolutely fabulous speakers, whistleblowers, etc. We expect to have some quite interesting surprise guests along the way there as well. But to get back to the subject here, I wanted to sort of take this time to announce this on the air, which it is kind of like a Jedi Light Warrior website, in which we want to begin to create what will be sort of a journey online that can spill over into the real world that will involve self-development or a pathway to enlightenment, if you will, and utilizing all kinds of people and networking with all kinds of people that come forward. And so we've been kind of discussing that, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, if you look at the Star Wars series, it's really kind of a somewhat timeless archetypal tale. And if you look at the whole idea of the Jedi Knight, what you're really seeing, if you kind of get into it and think about it, is you're seeing individuals who are really about conscious evolution, about personal growth and development as much to the utmost of their abilities. They're about mastery on every level. And as a result of their diligence, you know, like when you look at the first movie and, you know, Luke Skywalker goes and works with Yoda, you know, to master his mind and to master his emotions and master his ability in the physical with a lightsaber and things like that. You know, these are archetypal stories about how one grows and evolves. And the idea of a light warrior, I think, is an excellent concept, by which it's a vehicle by which people can really learn to grow and develop and become more autonomous and more empowered.
Exactly. And so that is something that we are developing right now, and something that we are taking emails. If you want to send me an email on that subject, you think you have a skill to contribute, or you have some ideas, maybe you're a webmaster, maybe you're a techie, maybe you're a designer, or perhaps you're a health practitioner, and or you have some skill in different areas, go ahead and send an email to support@projectcamelot.org. And in the subject line, you should put the word Obi-Wan in capital letters. It's just a little bit of fun, but it's Obiwan. And that way I know that's what the subject is about. And so we are developing that and moving along with that. And I want to say that Athena Thompson is my partner in this. She is also on our website. She's actually got a small part of our forum, the on Project Avalon, in which he gives some advice as a health practitioner, a natural health practitioner, and a herbologist. But she's also an author and has written a very interesting sci-fi story for children and young adults, really, and regular adults, or adults forever young, if you will. And it's called The St. Clair Twins, Forbidden Truths, and I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful book, and it is about developing, you know, young people developing into sort of on the light warrior model, and it's put into fictional, you know, it's a science fiction story along those lines. But in reality, what we're talking about here is actually that, for all intents and purposes, our lives are becoming science fiction. We are moving into a century or centuries that in which we are going to be able to do some of the things we've always dreamed of as humans in these human bodies, and that we, our capabilities, the horizon really is wide open. And so developing oneself and becoming sort of positioning oneself to take on these energies and become the best we can be is really the name of the game, and also the way to win back the planet, if you will.
I agree completely. I mean, to me, it's really simple. If you're playing a game and you want to have a good time and do your best and win the game, you've got to be the best basketball player that you can be. You don't spend all your time and energy and focus worrying about the other basketball player. You just get down to the work of being your best. And then that way, by being your best, you'll be able to handle anything that other basketball player comes at you with. So that's the same idea of being a light warrior. Learning to be your best, and whatever they come at you with, you can handle yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way of looking at it. For me, I would also say that in a sense, becoming the best you can be in this, if you take those two basketball players, you could say that in essence, the one who is working with the light, developing themselves, is becoming the teacher of the one who is working with darkness.
Right.
So that's what the real skill, that's what the real challenge is. And Doc, you're a great person to have on our show here, just for that purpose, to kind of talk about those, going along those lines, because you're actually a really, a great coach, and you're embodying that in your own life, I would say.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate it. You know that what's interesting is that I've been doing this long enough now that one of the patterns that I see is that when people begin to get exposed to this information, they get really excited about the potential and the possibility. You know, and they kind of grok or intuitively sense that there's really something here. And so their beliefs begin to change and begin to shift. And what I find a lot of times happens is that they then begin to experience a kind of frustration, because I have all this information and my beliefs are really beginning to shift and whatnot, but how do I do it? How do I live my life that way? How do I make those changes? And what's necessary is that the people learn skills. It's really about skills training, because skills are what connect your beliefs to your ability to be able to take action and manifest the things that you learn.
Great. We'll be right back after the break. Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. We're on the air with Doc Barham. We're drilling down to psychic self-defense and being the best you can be, the best light warrior you can be. And it's all about that. It's actually all about using light, because we're all light when all said and done. So I also want to put in a couple words here for Laura Knight Jedzik's website, SOT.net. It has a whole different way of looking at the news, and I just wanted to put a pitch in here for her website. It's SOTT.net, in case you're not already familiar with it. It approaches the news from a wider perspective than your normal BBC or whatever. So to come back to the subject, Doc, maybe you can talk a little bit about some of those skills that people need to develop, that if you were to just give them sort of a list of maybe developmental areas maybe you could address that. We've only got about 10 minutes left in our show, and this has been actually very excellent information, I think, for people.
Sure. Ken Wilber has what's called the Integral Institute, and he has a really exceptional body of work. You read Ken Wilber's works like Sex, Ecology, Spirituality. You really understand this model that he's generated over the past 30 years. And it's basically a model that's all about understanding human experience and conscious evolution. And in there, he talks about the same dimensions of mind, body, and spirit that we all possess. And they've created a program, which is a integral life program is what they call. And it's for personal development. And what I would say is that if you look at the different domains, in the mental domain, learning to master your thoughts is absolutely critical. And some of the skills that one wants to learn about and cultivate in the mental domain is meditation, and the Buddhists would call it mindfulness or witnessing. So taking up a regular meditation practice is great, a little time every single day. As a matter of fact, research shows that that's really one of the only things that is proven to result in, like, actually verifiable growth and development. So you really have to, you know, get yourself a bottle of ass glue, so to speak, and paint it on your butt and sit on the mat and begin to do a little meditation every day. And you really have to do it. You got to do the work. Now, the practice of mindfulness is where you take the intentionality and practice of meditation into your everyday waking life. Because I know a lot of people who meditate and then they get up and they're done and they don't really take that process into their life. So they're almost like split, like two people, where they're doing their sort of development on the mat, but they're not taking it into the world. In order to really live fully, you need to take it into the world as well, not just when you're on the mat. So that's what I would also recommend, is learning about the process of mindfulness. Also in the mental domain, I think that neuro-linguistic programming has a lot of exceptional tools. What I would also say is the value of learning neuro-linguistic programming is you can begin to start identifying the use, let's call the dark side use of NLP techniques in the mass media with propaganda and things like that. So it's sort of like a magician is a magician until you understand how he does the trick, and then he doesn't have any more power over you. NLP is one of those great methodologies and models, I think, is very helpful for that. I also think that learning about autogenic training or self-hypnosis is absolutely a wonderful tool or skill set that someone can learn. And I think meditation moves definitely into the spiritual domain as well, where you can have the direct realization through meditation and actually through journeying in hypnotic states that you are more than your physical body. And like Teilhard de Chardin, the French Christian mystic, said, that you are not a human being having a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. And that's something that everyone has to prove to themselves through the work. I think that also learning about emotional management, increasing what they call your EQ, is absolutely essential. And the reason that I say that is not just for your own personal happiness, so you can have a happier, more fulfilling life, but also our level of emotional skills development in this culture is pretty regressed. It's not very advanced. And so what happens is when you don't have very advanced EQ skills, you're easily manipulatable. People know how to push your buttons. And whether that's friends or family or corporations or the news media, when somebody hasn't cultivated emotional mastery, they're easy to manipulate emotionally. I would say an energetic discipline like Qigong would be an excellent practice to take up. And it's the combination of these two things. Don't go run out and do all of it at once. Pick one thing that really appeals to you and get to work on that. And once you feel like you've got a good handle on that, then pick the next thing and integrate that into your life. Because otherwise you'll try to do all the things at once. It'll be overwhelming, and then you'll get frustrated, and then you'll just say, screw it, and drop it. Let me think what else. I think that that would be a good starter set for people.
Oh, I think it's a great starter set. Those are really wonderful tips. So just in general of the world situation, maybe a few last words, just from your point of view as a practitioner, what do you see ahead for us? And regardless of what you see, how are you going to deal with it?
Well, I think that I hope for the best and I am prepared for the worst. That's really what I think is the smartest thing that you can do.
Okay, well, we're actually reaching the end here. I'm sorry to cut you off. I think hoping for the best and preparing for the worst is probably a good mantra there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doc Barham.
Thank you, Carrie, and thanks for mentioning my fullspectrumcoaching.com and my email. And you guys are doing great work. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Right. Okay. So everyone, we'll have Rebecca Jernigan on next week, this coming Thursday. What am I talking about? This is Tuesday. And so we look forward to talking with her. She's a radio show host in the Midwest. And her website is called Journeys with Rebecca.